Nehemiah chapter 1, and we are going to get into the scriptures here tonight, and we're going to talk about prayer. And I believe it's very timely. The Lord had me praying so much and going through so many things and challenges and things that God gave me this message while going through the book of Nehemiah and finishing up Nehemiah. And he gave me this, and I looked at this. It's called Reminding God to Remember, a prayer principle. And let's pray. Father, Lord, please be with us. We need you, Lord. We need to pray more. Lord, your children need to be in prayer, in much prayer. And Father, I just pray that you'd help us to see our dire need for it and see that you will use it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 8. Now, this is just one instance that this phrase is there. But he says, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the earth, of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto this place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now, what we have here is Nehemiah, he is reminding God, okay? And the disciples asked the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. Something so simple we would think that we should not need much teaching. However, we do. We need teaching on prayer, and we need to understand how to pray. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes we think that if somebody were to ask you, do you pray, you would say yes. But if you look at what the Bible defines as prayer, you have to ask yourself, do I really pray? Do I really pray the way that God wants me to? Do I really pray according to the scriptures? Do I pray? It's a good question to ask yourself. It's good to analyze that and to kind of meditate on that and to look at that and say, do I pray the way God wants me to? You know, and I want to give you a principle tonight that I believe, what I call this is a prayer principle. And I may give you many more in the days to come, okay? But I want to give you this one here because I believe it's an important one. It's one that stuck out for me. And then I began to just search the scriptures for it. This is, by the way, most of these recent sermons are all my devotional time in the Bible, directly reading God's word and Him bringing messages out to me that will help you, that have helped me. Okay? And a lot of that is just the Lord dealing with me about something and teaching me something and showing me something through the scriptures. Some of these sermons, it's funny, I get up at 6, I come here, I work, I study and labor in the Word of God, and then, I mean, some of these came so quickly that God was just speaking to me over one verse or two verses and showing me, you know, what we needed and what is important for all of us in our lives to grasp hold of. And this simple principle is so necessary and you need it. I cannot explain to you how powerful prayer is and how God will use it in your life. If the only way that I can explain that to you any better way is just to show you the scripture, some principles, and say, try and see if the Lord is not good. Taste and see if the Lord is good. Do it and see what happens. See what God does with it. So Nehemiah, he begs God here to call to his memory some former things. He asks God to remember some things. This is spoken in man's view, obviously. Humanly speaking, of course, to relate as a man would relate to a man, right? So he speaks to his God as closely as intimately as he would a friend, yet with respect and reverence due to his name. So he's calling out to God and he's saying, Lord, okay, remember this, God, remember this. And when you start to look at the Bible, what you will see from that, you will see that as a pattern through the scriptures. That men would cry out to God and they would ask him to remember something. I thought about this and I wrote on my Facebook page, I thought about this and I said, you know, We are quick to remember God's promises, but to forget His commands. We so quickly remember His promises, don't we? Everything that God promised. But what Nehemiah is doing here is Nehemiah is building the wall. He wants God, he's getting ready to build the wall. He wants to see it built. He wants to see something done for God. God has sent him to do that. And before he does that, he's praying to God and he's saying, God, remember us. Remember us, God. Remember us. Now, I think it's important that we look at the book of Nehemiah and other places in the Bible when others did this. See, they wanted to jog God's memory. Now, we understand God doesn't forget anything. We're talking about humans trying to relate to God. You understand that? We already know God knows everything. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. The point of prayer is not for you to bring something up that God hasn't figured out yet. You understand that? You're not like teaching God something new. That's not the point of it. I'll show you the point of it. It'll make sense to you as we keep going. But we know that it's impossible for God to forget His promises. But God wants us to remind Him of His promises. That's what He wants us to do. To remind Him. Why? What does that do? Well, if you remind God of His promises, what does that do for you? Right. You recite God's promises and you remember God's promises as you remind Him of His promises. And that does what? It strengthens your faith. Amen. It strengthens your faith. So it's all for you. It's not for God. God has need of nothing from man. This prompts faith in us so that we ask upon the merit of Christ. That's why we pray. Because for the merit of Christ, not, oh God, now sometimes you'll hear men say that, you know, I have served you, I've lived for you. Nothing wrong with that. But in the end, it is Christ's merit, not our own.
Correct.
Our prayers are answered because we have a high priest that ever liveth to make intercession for us.
Amen.
And it's upon His merit. It's upon the fact that He pleased the Father in all things. Amen.
Amen.
That's why. Right? Mm-hmm. This prompts in us faith. And the promise of the Father, right, is the Holy Ghost, right? The dove of the Lord in Christ. Those are all the promises of God, hid and revealed unto the saints alone. Everything that you need is found in Christ. Everything. Everything. Everything that you need is found in Christ. All of your needs, all of your hurts, all of your pains, all of your sufferings, all of the peace and joy and comfort that you need in your life are all found in Christ. He is the only way to find that. He is the only way to peace and comfort. Is you must search out Christ and Christ alone for that comfort. He, as children of God, when you are going through trials, He was good enough and He was sufficient enough to save your soul. He ought to be enough for you to go to Him, to learn of Him, and let Him do a work in your heart by knowing Him. By getting to know Him. Right? By getting to know Him, who He is. And learning of Him, which takes a lifetime. And then some. All of eternity. Right? So here, the chief aim of man is to glorify God, right? And it is to know Christ. It is to know Christ. The most amazing thing about Charles Spurgeon's sermons, that they are so completely timely. And I cannot say that about all the sermons I ever preach, because there are some things that will go into irrelevancy due to the fact that the time's changing and things like that. Now, there'll be some principles in those sermons that will affect other people from years to come. But the point is that some of the things that I preach, no, it won't be like that. But the sermons that Spurgeon preached on, why? Because he pointed people always to Christ. He was very conscientious to make sure, and he was masterful at it, better than anyone I've ever heard, besides the Word of God, obviously, but to point people to Christ in his sermons, the saved and the lost. He pointed them to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what we ought to do. Anyway, that was a side note. But we find here, I would say, a secret to prayer revealed, or a principle of prayer revealed. Reminding God. On 5 separate occasions, Nehemiah reminds God of his own promises. Or asks God to remember something. Sometimes the spiritual exercise of prayer does more for us than we realize. We know it adds nothing to who God is. God does not need your prayers, but He's commanded you to pray. He said to pray without ceasing. Prayer is the other offensive weapon, and we need it. All prayer. It is the weapon of choice in some dark times. It's the one we must use sometimes to cut through the darkness. Calling out to the Father in the dark is the best way to comfort and ease the heart and give strength through the storm. I can tell you that. I can tell you that for sure. I can tell you that by experience that fasting and prayer, it works. It works. It works. God uses it. I can't really explain it. I don't know how to explain it to you. It's God's way. That's all I can tell you. And it works. Amen. God uses it. Amen. You will notice that the apostles cried out, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" when he was in the ship with them. Prayer is the most spiritually profitable exercise and the one most neglected. The one thing that you and I will answer for in heaven is our lack of prayers. How much, like the song says, how much peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Right? Yeah. What peace we forfeit. I understand that a little better now than I used to. I do. You know, prayer keeps Satan away. Satan hates to be near a praying man. He will assault your prayer life because your prayer life assaults him. It is a direct assault on his kingdom and a most effective one. And when it's combined with fasting, it is extremely effective against the darkness. Extremely, Joshua. Right? Amen. Pray, we must pray, and we are given, and prayer is given to us as a weapon. Handed to us, a weapon forged in heaven. It is actually forged in heaven. All of the weapons that you have been given were not earthly weapons. They are not, we are not given earthly weapons, right? Our warfare is not carnal, but what? Spiritual! That's why they work against Satan. They do work against Satan. That armor does work against Satan. And prayer does work against his kingdom. We know that because it's been given by God. They are weapons that are forged in the fires of heaven. Purified 7 times. They do not fail. We only fail to pick them up and use them. We don't use them. We are blessed by prayer, strengthened by prayer, encouraged by prayer, uplifted by prayer, protected by prayer, calmed by prayer. Storms cease by prayers. Calmness in the storm is given by prayer. Holy energy to serve God is given by prayer. Prayer is the weapon and part of the armor of God given to us that we must use. It is imperative that we use it. Not only a command, but a necessity. Not a grand suggestion, but an absolute necessity. Pray, pray, pray. God's saints need to pray. God moves mountains with it. He delivers us through it. Pray, dear saints. Pray when your heart is broken, when you have no strength left. Pray. Never stop praying. When you cannot get yourself off the floor, pray yourself off the floor. Amen. Your Father knows. He'll bless your prayers. He will use them for His glory and honor. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is your Father's good pleasure to bless you and to give you peace. Peace and comfort are found alone in Christ Jesus. That's it. And prayer draws us so close to God. So very, 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 very close to God. Even in His throne room! So let me ask you, why would His saints not want to dwell in the throne room of God? When you'll be there for all of eternity, why would you not want to be at the footstool of His throne room now? Right? You have access to it now. Why are you not there now? Why do you suffer all these things alone without the power of God? Without prayer to strengthen you? Why? Why do you suffer without the power of prayer? When you have it at your access, you have it right there. If you leave off anything in this life, let it be sleep, let it be food, but let it not be prayer. Let it not be prayer. Talk to God, tell Him everything, ask of Him anything according to His will, but pray. Pray early, pray often, pray late, but pray. Now then, that was just the introduction. I hope I exhorted you enough and gave you something to think about, because you need to pray. Oh, we need it badly. Next, this principle is to ask God to remember. Seems like a very simple concept, doesn't it, really? But a very effective one, I believe. You might say, is it not a little one? It's just a little thing. Maybe so. But the Bible says, despise not the day of little things. How many times have you made a promise to your children? How many? Many times. Many times you have, haven't you? How many times are your children very apt to remind you of such promises? If you promise your children something, man, I'll tell you what, they will forget everything else in this world. But they will remember that promise. And they will not let you live that down. You will not forget that you promised them that. Why? Because they will bring it to your remembrance quickly and often. Just remember, when we promise our children something, we're teaching them how to keep their word. Make sure you keep yours. Because if you break those promises, if you and I break those promises, how many excuses do you accept? So we ought to be careful and weigh our words about what we say. Amen? But God is not so. He knows what He says, and He does what He says, and He's able to perform it, and there's nothing that can stop Him. Amen? Yeah. But those children, how easy is it for your children to remember your promises and forget your commands? Right? They'll remember that promise, but they won't remember the command that you gave them. Now the same is for you and I. We are quick to remember those, but slow to keep it, slow to remember His commands. Yeah. Amen? Nevertheless, our children are very effective when they remind us of our promises to them. It sends the battle, right? Well, how does that work? Well, it sends the battle out against us, and we cannot oppose ourselves. Think about that. How effective is that? When my children remind me of a promise that I made to them, I'm not battling them, I'm battling myself. Well, I can't work against myself, it's not going to work, right? So it's effective. You made the promise, then how hard is it to argue with yourself? They're brilliant little children, aren't they? Such a simple concept that they learn at such a young age. But if you applied that to prayer, you would see answers to prayer. And you would pray fervently. To take a concept so simple. You're not arguing with them, you're arguing with yourself. Now it's true that with God, He knows the best time to enact His promises. But God is not angry with you when you remind Him of His own promises. He's glorified because you're claiming no merit for yourself. You're not claiming that righteousness be attributed to you. No, but your cry is, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. You're begging God to remember His own promises, His covenant, His mercies, His truth, and righteousness. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You ever prayed that way? You ever prayed that way? It's called coming boldly, which is another principle. We'll talk about some other time. Have you ever prayed that way? To come boldly before the throne of God and remind God of His promises? But also, like Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen. Have you ever reminded God of things like that before? I have. In prayer, I've smacked the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is He? It's not disrespectful. It's honoring. Nothing disrespectful about claiming the promises that are given you and asking God to fulfill them. God likes that because you're going to Him and nobody else. Amen. It's called boldness. Some of you might be afraid to do that because you're not close enough to Him. You don't walk close enough to God. You've not talked to Him enough. So you're sheepish and you're timid and you won't approach Him. You have to work on that. Amen. Abraham said that, didn't he? The friend of God, the man of faith. Did not Moses do the same thing when God was ready to destroy Israel for their sin and wickedness, and Moses interceded like a type of Christ, that high priest that can be touched? In Exodus chapter 32, the great chapter, turn there, of Israel's everlasting shame of idolatry. Man, you know what Israel, rabbis said about that chapter of the Bible, that golden calf? They said, we still bear the reproach of the golden calf today. Makes sense, doesn't it? Verse number 13, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And why did he do that? Why did God turn from that evil? Because God wanted Moses to have the burden for his people and to intercede on their behalf. He would need to test that burden because 40 years he would wander in the wilderness. God knew the trials Moses had ahead of him. And Moses needed strength for those trials. Amen? Just like you do. So many times God's own children remind him of his promises. I believe we neglect this vital prayer principle, and it's a secret to us. It is so plain in the scriptures. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse number 42. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. Solomon is begging God to remember, O Lord, all the times you delivered David. Remember the deliverance you gave David. Remember that. You see, these prayers, what they do is they build our faith when we remind God. And by the way, you're also learning how to pray. Pay close attention. Some of you say, well, I don't know what you would pray that long about. I don't have that. No, you got a lot to pray for. You just haven't realized it yet. I can clear it up in about 5-10 minutes. And that's about as much spiritual strength as you're going to get to battle through life. And then you're going to lose your temper, and then you're going to have a bad spirit, and then you're going to get easily angry, easily offended. You're going to be afflicted easier, not going to have strength through trials because you give God 5 minutes. Right? And you wonder why you can't make it through the trial. You wonder why you have no strength. Because you don't pray. These prayers build our faith. They remind us of God's promises. While we pray them, they're rehearsed in our own ears, and they drop deep into the wells of our heart, and they strengthen us. They cause us to dwell upon the promises of God when we remind God of His promises. We start to dwell on them and remember them. We reason them out in our hearts that, oh, well, if God promised this, then surely all of these threats from Satan, and all these threats, and all these fears, and all these doubts, they're not real. Because if they were, then this promise wouldn't be true. And this promise is true. Amen? Nehemiah chapter 1. By the way, this causes us to dwell upon them. It digs deep into the heart down into our hearts. And in a time of need, that bucket goes down deep to draw out the water of life and apply it in a dry, thirsty land when you're going through trials. And you need that. Nehemiah 1:8, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into utter parts uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. What happened here? Nehemiah is getting ready to stand before the king. But before he stood before that king, he stood before the King of Kings. He bowed his knee to the King of Kings and said, God, you gotta help me. I'm going into the most powerful man in the world. And if I look sad in his face, he could kill me for it. Because you weren't allowed to look sad in front of the king. Or they didn't like that. Because you were privileged to be in front of the king. Right? So you ought not act that way when you're in front of the king. That's a good picture, isn't it? We have to be careful as we stand in the presence of our king that we have a good countenance. Right? Sometimes we're going to be sad, yes. Sometimes, but we should. Our lives shouldn't be like that all the time. Amen? Remember, O Lord, please forget not thy mercies. O Lord, remember them. Yes, Lord, you commanded that if we disobeyed, you would punish us. But you also said if we turned and kept the commandment, you would have mercy and pardon and bring us back into the land of the living. That land of milk and honey, right? And God will act according to his promises. 69 years of captivity and God will bring them back. Dear Christian, have patience, which is the best of all virtues, and wait upon the Lord. Though your trials seem long, God is good, and he will remember the promises to you. Wait. You have to wait. You have to wait patiently. He will answer you. Nehemiah asks God to remember those that did him much evil. Though we are to pray for our enemies, there are times, and I know not with perfect understanding as to when that time may be, but there are those times that there's so many that do much evil to the Lord's work. And we go to God and ask him to remember their evil and deal with them. He said, remember them, O my God, verse number 29, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. He asked them to remember. God, remember these people and what they did, how they defiled the priesthood and what they did. Remember their acts and what they did. And don't forget that, Lord, what they did. Psalm 74:18, remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. In that same chapter, Psalm 74, in verse number 22, arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. He went to God. He said, oh God, don't forget what they've done. They've caused much harm. Jeremiah 15:15. Jeremiah 15:15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. I will tell you that Jeremiah went to Egypt and he died. He was murdered. Believe. But didn't Paul pray the same thing? Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work. There are those that are like that, and there are times that we pray that we may pray those things. It is okay to never retaliate, but ask God to deal with those that are so blatantly evil that attempt to destroy the work of God. Not for our own benefit or revenge, but for the Lord's work. And I pray that God gives you wisdom in all things and how to pray for those cases. Job 7:7. Job said this, same principle. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. Job asked God to remember that he's a frail man. And he's not like God. He said, Lord, my days are numbered. Don't forget. Remember, God, remember my days. Job 10:1. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. It is good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as man seeth? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days, that thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin? Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay. And wilt thou remember, O Lord, I beseech thee, thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? Job, in his awful trials that he was going through. You know, Job, in all honesty, Job had no time to grieve all the loss of all of his children. Because right after the loss of all of his money, all of his property, all of his everything that he owned, his servants, everything, after the death of his children, right? And then his health was attacked right away. Job had no opportunity to grieve properly through all that. Think about that. Remember, I beseech that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? Asking God to remember our frailty. Psalm 25:6, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. He's asking God to remember his mercies and his kindness and not his sins, but that God would remember his promises to him, his promises that he made. By the way, one trap of Satan is to get you to focus on your sin as a Christian, to get you to focus on your sin and not on Christ. Repent of your sin and focus on Christ. Do not focus on your sins. They are under the blood. Focus on Christ. If you need forgiveness, find it in Christ. If you need peace, find it in Christ. If you need comfort, find it in Christ. If you need power, find it in Christ. If you need clearness of mind, then find it in Christ. Do not look at your sins. Look at your Savior.
Man.
Look to Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You need Jesus. Don't look at your sin. It will only make you miserable. And to continue to ask God to forgive something He already forgave is going to make you insane.
Yep.
Stop it. Ask for grace to move forward.
Amen.
Ask God for power and grace to move forward. Don't bring it back up. That's Satan's trap. It's one of Satan's devices to use against you, is to bring up your sin again. Why? Because that's not going to change.
Right.
Do you understand that? It's already forgiven. So you go into God to get forgiveness again and trying to get forgiven again for it, or bring it up to God, is of no use because God has already forgiven it. So the bringing it up is just a trap. What should you be remembering? Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Christ. Remember Him. Consider Christ. Focus on Him. He's the answer. Not the sin. Christ is forward. Sin is back. The race is run that way. Not back. Forward. So our focus is what? Who's at the end of the race? Christ. Right? That should be your aim. That should be your goal. That should be your focus. That should be your concentration. Concentrating on the promises, remembering the promises of God. Amen. How wise the Lord is and how simple and foolish we can be. May we always give the glory to Him that He deserves, because He's worthy of so much. Like Wesley said, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing His praise. Amen. How about this? Lord, remember your church. Dear Lord, remember. Psalm 74, verse 1 to 2. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation. Listen. I'm going to say something to you. It's not very profound, but it's very practical. Yeah? I just want to let you know that if you prayed for every single person in this room, well, not in this room, but in this church, it would take you longer than 5 minutes. I know this because it takes me a lot longer than 5 minutes, because I pray for you every day. Amen. Every day. Right? Every day. So I know that it takes a while to pray for all of you. And I know that all of you have many needs. Many needs. And I pray for them specifically when I remember them, when they're brought to my attention. And I pray for things that I would never tell you that I'm praying for you, because I wouldn't want to offend you. Amen. So I don't tell you. I wouldn't tell you that. I tell it to God. And I give it to Him and I let Him do it. Because I don't have the power to do it. But I do have the ability to pray. And I can take it to God, and I can pray to Him, and I can ask Him to help you. Amen? So it takes longer than 5 minutes. Psalm 79. Oh, wait, I didn't finish that one. I'm sorry. Psalm 74, 1 to 2. O God, why hast thou cast us off? Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Asking God to remember. Remember your church, O Lord, remember. Psalm 79:8. Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. If you've got a problem with your sin and it's bothering you, then ask God, Lord, remember not against us our former iniquities. But if God's already forgiven him, you don't have to ask him that. But he's speaking of a nation here. And I highly doubt that all of them did ask for forgiveness for all of those sins. So he's asking forgiveness for a nation. Remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. He's asking for prayer. He's asking God to purge away. He's asking God to remember not their former iniquities, but to answer and deliver and to purge for His name's sake. When you understand that you have no merit, but Christ does, right? The name of God does. Psalm 89:46. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? David knew what this was like. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself? Lord, verse number 49, Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servant, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people, wherewith thine enemies have reproached. O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. He's asking God to remember his former loving kindnesses. He's reminding God of how much mercy he had. Right? Psalm 106 verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Asking God to remember him. Now, he's not talking about being saved from hell or saved from the punishment of sin. No, he's asking God to deliver him in his present state and where he's at, his present condition, what he's facing, the trial that he's facing. Not every time you see that word salvation, is it speaking of salvation from hell. There are different types of salvation in the Bible. There are different aspects to salvation in the Bible. Amen. So you have to understand that. It's not always the same. One could apply it to either, but it's not. He's speaking of his present distress that he's in, that God would deliver him. Visit me with thy salvation, that God would come and visit him and God would show up. Psalm 119:49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. Now you'll notice that. You could take a note of that and use it for something else. But what does he say here? He says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This, what word? The Bible. He's saying, this is my comfort in my affliction. I can tell you one thing. Well, a few things. I usually do. But I'll tell you one thing right now. I'll tell you a few things right now, okay? One thing in particular. In heavy times of affliction, there should be heavy times of Bible reading. There should be... Listen to me. If you're in enough affliction, you'll stop reading that book like it's some kind of homework assignment that you dread, and you'll start reading it to survive. Amen. I know what that's like. I'm going to tell you something right now. I know what it's like to read that book to be able to survive. That it's all you can feast on. That it is all you need. It's the only thing that will keep you going. The words of life. The food from God. What does he say here? He says, this is my comfort in my affliction. Do you neglect the comfort that God has given you in your affliction, whatever your affliction may be, and not feast on his word? I've had nights where I had to read it all night. Just gonna read it all night. I'm already back in Job. Again. I read Job a few months ago. I think I skipped around, but I jumped on Job and read that, read the Psalms, read all these of the books of Psalms. Back in Job again in my normal devotion. But I needed it yesterday. So I read like 16 chapters of Job and 4 chapters of Esther. And I just kept reading and I just kept reading and I just kept reading. And outlining and reading and studying. Now I have more time than you, I understand that. But we all have the same amount of time if we don't sleep. So if God ever takes your sleep from you, you'll have plenty of time. Don't ever tell God you don't have time. Please don't do that. You'll have time. Right, Lee? Yeah. Amen. That shows the love of God. That shows the love of God right there.
Yep.
Right? See, you got no time. God will give you some. Oh, you got plenty of time. Amen. All right. Hey, we're doing good on time. Psalm, let's see, remember me, O Lord, with the favor. Oh, I read that. Psalm 119:49, remember thy word. Okay, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. Ah, remember that when you're in affliction. This is my comfort. You need it. And I don't mean like one or two chapters. Right? If you've ever had Satan weigh on your mind so hard and come at it and come in fierce affliction, I can't even explain it to you. I can't explain it to you. All I can tell you is it happens. And then this time around, it's amazing because I thought I learned a lot the last time I was in the book of Job. But this time around, read the book of Job. Wow. A lot of stuff come up. A lot of stuff just came out that God had just showed me, just revealed unto me. And I get a small, very small portion of what Job was going through, I understand, with the, you know, Matthew Henry said it. He said, trouble of the mind is worse than any other trouble.
Yep.
When Satan attacks your mind or when you're under heavy afflictions, it's God allows it. We give all the glory to God. That old serpent couldn't do anything without God
right.
allowing him to. He can't touch us if God doesn't let him. And he can only go so far.
Yep.
And the worst he could do if God let him is kill me and I'll just be with Jesus.
Amen.
And I'll stand behind the throne of God and make funny faces at him. Amen.
Right.
Because he won't be able to hurt me anymore.
Yep.
He'll be cast in the lake of fire for all of eternity. That'll be fine with me. Amen.
Amen.
Can't wait to see that day. That old chain comes around him.
Whew,
that's going to be a shouting day right there, man. Anyway, King Hezekiah reminds God of his faithfulness in his walk with the Lord during his sickness. Isaiah 38, verse 3. And said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now Hezekiah wasn't saying he was a perfect man. He was saying that he did obey the voice of the Lord. He did lead the kingdom right. He did do it according to his father David. And there's nothing wrong with reminding God of that, that you've been faithful to him if you have been. Always giving credit to Jesus Christ. And the grace of God. Weep unto God and remind him of his promises to you and how you have been faithful to him, if you have been. But always remind him of Christ and Christ's faithfulness and that you rest above all else in the faithfulness of Christ. Jeremiah 14:20. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers. For we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all things. What did he say? Remember, break not thy covenant with us. You need to come boldly, which will be another sermon, right? These sermons from desperate hearts, boldly coming to the Lord. Lamentations 5:1. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Asking God to remember. Remembering who they are, that they're his people, sheep of his pasture, right? Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 2. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Asking God, Lord, remember your mercy, Lord, revive us again, Lord. Give us the power of God again, Lord. Fall upon us in your power, Lord. Give us that strength again, Father, one more time. Right? God, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Samson, the fallen but repented warrior. asks God to remember him one more time. Judges 16:28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. He said, O Lord God, remember me. Amen. God's mercy. Lord, just one more time. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. God remembered him one more time. And he pulled the house down. 5,000 people, I think. More died in his death than in his life. Something like that. Something, number like that. I don't remember the exact one. I think it was 5,000. Maybe 3. But anyway, it was more. Nehemiah 13:14. Back to our text. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. Asking God and reminding God, God, please don't forget the work that I've done. Lord, don't forget the work that I've done. Remember these deeds that I've done for you. Verse number 22. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. He's asking God to remember him. O God, remember me, O God. Remember the work that I have done. Remember me. I think of the thief on the cross. What did he say? Remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. Remember me. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. God remembered. Amen? He did. Remember me. He says in the last bit of this chapter, and for the wood offering at times appointed and for the first fruits, remember me, O my God, for good. And he did. It's right here.
Amen. Yep.
God answered his prayer. He's here.
Yep.
Remembers it. There's a record of it. Amen. And God keeps that record too. Asking God, reminding God to remember. It's a good prayer principle. One that will help you, I believe. One that will help you, teach you to pray scripturally, more effectively, for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Help us to live by it every day, Lord. Use it in our lives, Lord, I pray. Help us to pray more. Oh God, burden our hearts to pray. And Lord, if we don't pray, give us reasons to pray. Put thy rod of affliction upon us, Lord, to teach us what's right. We need it, Lord. Oh God, I'd rather have 1,000 pounds of affliction than an ounce of sin to be allowed in my life. Help us, Lord, to live for you daily. Strengthen us as only you can. Be glorified in Jesus Christ, and may we always glorify him. Amen.